Taking this for Gentiles, how much more than what a problem is. My translation says, how much more will those four sons be? Your translation say that? What did you say? No. What translation do you have? This word will, that's it. You're not saying, you're saying, look, this is all done just so Israel, God permit all this. Just so Israel can be destroyed. No, God permits for other reasons. One reason is, that when Israel is conquered or rejected Jesus, it opened the ears of the Gentiles. Which is because of God's obvious reason. Now he said, he does not say, my first transgression be written for the world, and the third written for the Gentiles, how much more will their full son be? As men, they, as a nation, accept the Messiah. It says in the Greek, how much their full son. The word will is there. That's a bad translation, well, that's not a translation at all. It doesn't say, they will, national Israel, will return to the Messiah. He says, how much would their fulfillment be? What it means. How much, Israel could be saying, let my heart be God for them. Wouldn't it be great if, what he's saying is, wouldn't it be great if they would accept the Messiah now, after they've opposed him so long? See, the fact that they rejected Jesus made the Gentiles interested, because they thought, well, they're going to be Jews. But then after the Jews persecuted the church for so long, wouldn't it be a great testimony if they changed their mind and said, he's the Messiah after all, after the Gentiles did as well as that. It does not say it's going to happen. But it's not in the Greek. It does not say how much will their fulfillment be, what their effectiveness will have. He's saying, it says, it means how much would it be great, what he's saying. It is not a promise. And that word will, it's very important that word appears in there. It's not in the Greek. And think as the Bible translation points out, is how much their fulfillment depends. That her translation is more faithful to the Greek, kind of shows that that word will is in there. Right? Even just mark it out. But I'm speaking to you as Gentiles. And as much as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. It's not even my main job, but I do my job. If somehow I might lose the jealousy of my fellow countrymen and save some of them. I wish they'd become jealous. Some of them. Look, they saved some of them. They won't all be saved. Save some more. Because we want them all to be saved, but he's hoping that the fact that the Gentiles accepting the Christ and Jesus and rejecting the Jesus enough. Maybe this would make some of them jealous. For if their rejection be the reconciliation of the world, what again would will is there? If the Jews' acceptance be the reconciliation of the world, he's repeating himself, want their acceptance but lie from the dead. He says the very same thing he says in verse 12. But again, the word will is the dead. What does this say, Viola?
So if the fact of the world is
that indeed
the
reconciliation
of the world,
what shall
the receiving of them be but
life from the earth? Again, the word will is the beginning of the word. What they're receiving. Wouldn't it be great if they were, he says. And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also. If the root be holy, the branches are too. The 11 being, the first piece of dough being national Israel, and the old covenant Israel, the lump being the new covenant Israel, the church. And if the root be holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches are broken off, note that some, as a matter of fact, it's most, but it's still some, understand? Some of the branches are broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted among them, and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. That is, see, the root is the promise. It's the promise. The root says that. Stop. What he's saying is that most of them were broken off. Why? Because national Israel did not receive the promise. It was broken off. But you were grafted in, the Gentiles. or he's saying, if you're a part of the church, but the root is not Gentile, the root is Israel. Why? So he said this. Through the Messiah comes through Israel. The covenant, the promises, all things of Israel. But if you're a wild ox, pardon my ox, you've been grafted in. You're not the arrogant toward the branches. I love this. And what I said, the Gentiles were boasting toward the Jews, just like the Jews were boasting toward the Gentiles. They were saying, aha, you see. Well, it's true that you were the root. The national Israel has been broken off. We were grafted in. Jesus called it, never for it. Therefore, we are now in the Catbury seed. So he said, now wait a minute. You've been laying on the Jews pretty hot and heavy, haven't you? And he said, it's true that most of the branches are broken off. So he didn't believe. And Gentiles being grafted in, they did believe. Then he said, now you Gentiles, don't get haughty about that. If you are arrogant, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root supports you. Matter of fact, Israel comes first. Yeah.
He's writing that the Jewish are still, when you're talking about Jews, that the Jews that are still persecuting the church itself, or the Jewish Christians who are in the church and are still borderline.
That's a good question. He's speaking to the Jewish national mind in general, including those in the church, I think. I think he's good. What Dwayne asked, he's speaking to this, and as much as the church is involved in it, he's saying this is the Jewish national mind, which is causing the problem in the church. Now, you will say to him, so he's trying to bring this into balance. He's saying that it's true that the Jews did have a covenant when the Messiah came to the Jews. They are the root, and they were broken off. You were grafted in. But don't you get in trouble and make the same mistake that the Jews made. Don't you adopt the same attitude that caused them to be broken off. You will say then, branches are broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off in the sense of allowed to be broken off. Israel was allowed to reject the Messiah. So the Gentiles could come in. But I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but what? Fear. If God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. So again, now that's the point. There's no difference in there. So it's the Jews, and you're like the Gentiles. It's having none of this stuff of, well, you rejected your Messiah, and now we're the branch, and it's our turn, and you can just take second place. He said, don't do that. That's the very attitude that got the Jews in trouble. Can't between myself now. Behold then the kindness and the severity of God, by his dying for a balance. Now that's an important statement. I think it's a really good term. Behold the kindness and the severity of God. Kindness in letting the Gentiles in, severity in breaking off, in allowing the natural branch to be broken off. But his severity will be both. His kindness will turn to severity. To those who fail, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If you continue in the kindness, otherwise you also will be failed. And they also, the Jews, if they do not, if, no that. Anybody say that the word will was on it? There's not promise that they will return? Note here what he said. He does not say when. He says if they do not continue in their unbelief, they'll be grafted in. But God is able to graft them in again. He said, look, anytime the Jews want to come to the side, come by faith, they're accepted. Don't say it. What was the Gentile saying? Well, you know, you had your chance. You crucified your Messiah. Now you are demoted. You are beneath us. He's saying, oh no. There's no difference. Look, he said, anytime Israel wants to come, they'll be grafted in. The branches, the broken branch can be re-grafted in to come by faith. And, for God is able to graft them in again, For you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, 10 pounds, he's changing metaphor here, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated tree, Israel. How much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Cut your version. That stops the boasting of the Gentiles. And don't you? He says, sure, that the Jews and the nations rejected their Messiah. But don't you know that God still loves them? And he's just as anxious to graft them back in as he was to graft you in. And so turn to the grafting. Listen, the book of Romans despite, even though it dismantles the prejudicial conception of the Jews concerning the Messianic kingdom, the book of Romans actually is not a book that teaches anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is an ugly thing. God, the Jews are not, any different the Jews are not in any worse position before God than anybody else. When I wrote that article 2 years ago on Messianic nationalism, the study of the Bible, I pointed out that the Jews did not have a special promise for national Israel. And I got in all kinds of trouble from all kinds of letters from people who wrote that, yes, God is still over the world and the whole thing. But I got a bunch of hate letters just from somebody in Florida. With anti-Semitic saying, oh, we're glad to see you on our side, because we've been saying all along that the Jews are going to use all this anti-Semitism. Boy, I wrote them a letter right away. I said, look, I'm as far away from you as I am from the dispensation. Don't count me among you. I said, no, I just wrote it as a letter to write at. Why? You see what they there is no distinction. It's one thing to say that the Jews do not have a special promise, but they had no lesser promise to say. No distinction. And then he said, look, these Gentiles, are you really suggesting that the God who grafted a wild olive branch into a cultivated tree, that he wouldn't graft a natural branch back in? Well, he sure would. The God who grafted a wild olive branch, the Gentiles could certainly grasp in the natural branch if they would come by faith. There's no distinction. That's quite beautiful, isn't it? Don't you get it? You levels it out. Okay, I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Here, mystery means that which has been revealed, but had to be revealed, you know. Lest you be wise. Here's a tough verse now. Lest you be wise in your own estimation. That a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Note this, that all Israel has not, the key word here is the partial hardening, only a partial hardening. He's saying to the Gentiles primarily, look, don't you hate Israel just because they crucified the Messiah. The hardening is only partial. There is a remnant that has accepted, has come by faith. And therefore it will always be a remnant. The hardening will always be only a partial hardening until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Now what this means is the fullness of Jesus uses this phrase, something similar to it. We talked about Jerusalem, something religious fall of Jerusalem, Luke 21 and Matthew 24. He talked about that Israel, that Jerusalem shall fall by the sword and shall be downtrodden in the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, until times of the Gentiles. Fullness, until times of the Gentiles are ended. Now, this phrase, times of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, it simply means, as I understand it, the church age. That is, the church will become predominantly Gentile church. Predominantly. That is, God dealt with the Jews and the ideas of the Gentiles primarily. And it will be this way, this is the way until the end. And I would point out that Jerusalem is still downtrodden by the Gentiles. Jerusalem not downtrodden by the Gentiles? But who's got control of it? Well, the Zion has got control of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the city now is supposed to
And certainly in the sense of the book of Romans, it is those who are now in control of national Israel, of Jerusalem, are not Israelites. There's no such thing as a Jew in the Old Testament sense anymore. Somebody will call a Zionist an Israelite, and that's a little step in that dimension. There's no connection by faith, there's no connection by flesh, there's no connection. Well, anyway, that's a tough subject. I wrote a whole paper one time on the times of the Gentiles. Now, when I finished, I wasn't sure I knew any more about it than when I started. It's very problematic. So I'm just giving you my understanding. Okay, he does not say, but many translators to me, that the times of the Gentiles and the Lord's going to come back to the time of Israel again. Let's follow this through. The hardening is only possible. He's saying to them, don't be wise in your own estimation. He's saying to the Gentiles, don't get boastful. The hardening is only partial. And then he draws it into a great conclusion. And thus, all Israel will be saved. Now, the point of what it does not say, it does not say, and then all Israel will be saved. And all kinds of commentaries that have this saying, well, you know, it says that the hardening is only, the partial hardening is coming to Israel until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and then all Israel will be saved. And they quote this text. I would point out that it doesn't say that. The word is not then all Israel will be saved. It is thus all Israel will be saved. It does not say, the Bible does not say, at that time all Israel will be saved. It says, in this way all Israel will be saved. Now, keep in mind, this is summarized and bring this argument to a close. The argument has gone all the way through Romans 9 to 11, which came to come to refer to this. Now, why is it? And thus, okay, here's how the text says. Don't be boastful, the hardening is only partial. And all Israel, and in this way, in this way, all Israel will be saved. Question, in what way will all Israel be saved? Well, in context, has he said all Israel will be saved? Yes, if you understand. He started out by saying, they are not all Israel, who are Israel. The Jews said, Jesus can't be the Messiah because the Old Testament promised that all of national Israel would be saved. Oh no, the promise was only to the remnant. It's never to, it was always to me, not to thee. So, God promised to save Israel. In Jesus, God has kept that promise in this way. In what way? In the way he sent, what we call it, what's been divided into three chapters, in the way he sent three chapters explaining in this way. It is through Christ. That's been the whole point, hasn't it? And look what he says, let me continue reading. And thus, in this way, how? Through Christ, all Israel shall be saved. Through all Israel. The remnant. As it is written, thus the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. What are you talking about? About Jesus. He's the deliverer. Now, okay, you get that? He goes, Mr. Christian, it doesn't say, then all of it will be saved. It was, excuse me. How Indian of this tribe, they translate very popular Jewish television views this they interpret this to say, and then all national Israel will be saved. They'll rebuild the temple, and the Messiah's going to come back and rule from Jerusalem, and then all national Israel will be saved. Very strange, but that interpretation is very common. If that's the correct interpretation, and this is the conclusion of this long discussion. If that's the correct interpretation, then you can see simply that interpretation absolutely contradicts everything Paul has said in the argument. If that's what that means, then the conclusion contradicts the argument. As a matter of fact, has he been teaching that at that time all national Israel will be saved? No. He was saying, in this way, through Christ, the deliverer, God has kept his promise. See, that was an issue. Well, wait a minute, Paul. Did God promise to save Israel? Yep. Let me tell you who Israel is. Who is Israel? The remnant. And in this way, God, when he said, and therefore Israel shall be saved, be the same, and thus God has kept his promise. You know, I'm lucky. Now, this takes us back to the way I started this lecture when I first out. Oh, the issue? Well, has God kept his promise or not? And Paul declares that every promise made to Israel has been kept and delivered in Christ. He never promised to make them rulers in the world. He promised to save them. Take away your sins. It says in the prophecy of the quote. And how in the world anybody can interpret it? I keep in mind, when they say, and then all Israel shall be saved, that's not even interpretation. They didn't say that. If you can't. How do they commentary? Mostly these paperback prophecy commentaries. Because it's actually in this quote the text. You know, and then all Israel shall be saved. No. You see, it doesn't say they will come back, and therefore the Gentiles can be a testimony to the Gentiles. The word will is there. Remember that? These all tied together. It says if they would, and it does not say if they will, it says in this way, Israel is saved through the Messiah. And by the way, you see, if Jesus is going to come back and save all of them, that's the first place. I fell on something one time and said, well, now I just think the Bible's what it says. It says all Israel, and that means all Israel. You know, and that's all. You mean all those who have ever lived? Well, no, not all those who have ever lived. And then they start saying, well, in the tribulation, certain Jews are going to become enemies of the Antichrist, and they won't be included. And, you know, those, somehow all start to dwindle, even among those guys. You get down to the remnant, they got their own remnant. It's just not the same remnant that Paul's got. All Israel, does that mean every Jew that ever lived? Well, all of them. Well, nobody teaches that. It's a remnant. But, if you look at, if, and secondly, if Jesus, if these eschatological nuts or scholars are right, and Jesus is going to come back and all the Jews are going to see him and say, what do you know? You're wrong after all. What is that going to do to the biblical doctrine of salvation by faith? And as a matter of fact, what they say is, well, do they believe when Jesus comes back and performs miracles and they'll believe? Oh yeah? Well, he was here before. If Jesus landed in Jerusalem tonight, declared himself the Son of God and performed miracles, do you think the Jews would believe? I think they'd get mad. Just like they did before. Why should we believe that a miracle working Jesus will be accepted the second time and working the first time? Well, you know, salvation is by faith. But the Bible doesn't just pull the Bible away. That's not true. So that's the word I'm not going to say. But just to say that, then at some time Jesus is going to come back and save all of Israel. That's absurd, no matter how you look at it. And this text doesn't say that. And he says, in this way, he's just bringing back his argument. Okay, y'all see that? In this way, how? By God saving the remnant to operate. What is the remnant? Those who come by faith. So, Paul says, you can't say God doesn't keep his promise. He promised to save Israel. They're not all Israel, they're Israel. This is Israel. Yeah, well, if to Israel are those who come by faith, who come to faith in Christ, come to God through faith in Christ, can you say all Israel is saved? It can be all. Certainly. The only way it can be. As a matter of fact, I think I'll think about what it says. It says all Israel. I think it means all Israel. Living or dead. not just a handful, it happens to be in Palestine when Jesus comes back. And it's a comparative handful. You know what I'm saying? So Now he starts electing them, electing the Gentiles. He wasn't rejecting them. And that gives them a fellowship. He never got very far from them. From the standpoint of the gospel, they, his national enemies, national Israel, are enemies for your sake. That means God is allowing them to persecute the church. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the Father. God still loves them. And the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable. That means God loves them. God has never stopped to teach. They rejected God. The fact that God cast them off nationally does not mean God doesn't love them. The Lord said this. God allowed the temple to be destroyed. Is that true that God hated the Jews? He's always loved them. Love them for the sake of the Father. They go away, they do go back to work. They don't have any special promise of salvation. But he still loves them. At the birth of the Gentiles were saved. Love God, you to love Jesus, and I love God.
I don't know if this mentioned in eschatology, but what kind of time limit is on that? As far as up till judgment, God's love for the Jews and everyone else who rejects.
Oh, beyond. The fact that a man goes to hell doesn't mean that God doesn't love him. In Romans 8, he says that's the love of God. Yeah. Man goes to hell because God didn't love him. No person will ever be lost because God doesn't love him. He'll be lost in spite of the fact that God loves him. But the point of making the Gentiles is this. You got the true news rejected in the side. This does not give you grounds for hating. Why? God loves them. They come from God. He didn't come from man. And yes, if you were once disobedient to God, as a people of Gentiles, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. We'll talk about that. So these also now have been disobedient, or that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may be shown mercy. Well, God wants them all. He wants all of us. For God has, here's this history again. For God has shut up all the disobedience. Has shut up me. Put in the bag. It's idiomatic. Our idiom is God has put everybody in the same bag. Everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's put under the same label, the same heading. Everybody's in the same category. What is? Law. God has set up all the provisions that he might show mercy to all. And then you have this hymn of praise. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who became his counselor? He's wise with the counsel of God. And we have first given to him that he might be paid back to his kingdom again. He's greater than God, and he gives God everything. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things, and him be glory forever. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? Quite a complicated argument. Go back to the beginning here, like 5 minutes ago. He started out with it. Let me summarize it again. And I realized I'm repeating myself, and said, let's take this to see the teaching. Let's all learn it. The question, they started out accusing God. I think it's appropriate this chapter ends with a hymn of praise to God. Well, Paul, if what you say is true, what does that make God? It makes God a commentator. Because he promises that he isn't. And it makes God unfair. Why? He uses it. Now he's going to cast us off. So he says, no, God uses him to choose. And that doesn't obligate God. He is the potter and we are the clay. God never promised to save all of Israel, all of national Israel. Through Christ, he saves the remnant by faith. That's the only one who received the promise. This is not some obscure teaching. It has been in your mouth, like before our eyes, all along. It does not mean that God, the fact that God has operated this way does not give the Jews a superior position or a Gentile a superior position. He will grab anybody into the roof. And God has kept every promise. He worked it out. All Israel shall be saved. And God is the God of betrayal, not treachery. He starts to see how he destroys us. Isn't, end up by saying, isn't God magnificent? Great. See how it flows through that. Mm-hmm. We would agree, wouldn't we? Yeah. That it's amazing how God worked it all out. Aren't you glad that God included us and we had no right to be included? One of the things I hope this will, if any of you have ever had in your background any type of anti-Semitism, I hope that it keeps study of Romans and it causes you to evaporate. And if you pick up any notion. Usually they're subconscious.
We talk about money sometimes if you want, you know.
Yeah, right. Subconsciously we sort of, you know, well, it's like we pick up subconsciously later today. And I hope this will help all of us. We're all prejudiced. Anybody says they're prejudiced is stupid. We're all prejudiced. I was furious when people interpreted my article to mean that therefore I was anti-Semitic. And I was accused of it in print of Christian Standard, by the way.
By the Christian Standard or anything?
In Christian Standard. Not by it, no. I wrote back and said, and they printed this letter to the Apostle Red, I wrote back and said, I don't think the friends are the common of the chosen people either. Does that mean the anti-Dalit, you know? I said, I don't believe the Jews are chosen people anymore. That makes me anti-Semitic. That's what I was told. Accused of. Well, I don't think the Eskimos are the chosen people. I think that was the Eskimos. I mean, that's a stupid argument. And so I want to say that I don't believe that it's the Eskimos. Why? The ones that are chosen now, those who come by faith, no matter who it is. And if God doesn't, well, and of course, the history of anti-Semitism is in the history of the church, the Western church, and we really have done it. Yes.
In the mind of all of this, what do you say is happening in
well, it's going to play whatever part it's going to play in world history. I say that it has nothing whatever to do with Bible prophecy. What's going on over there has nothing to do with Bible prophecy. Why? Because God, every promise, that's what he said, every promise that God made to Israel is kept in Christ. It's already been kept. The land promise has already been kept. That outfit over there, I have my opinion that whether they have the right to the land or not. My opinion has nothing whatever to do with the subject of Bible prophecy. That's my understanding. For instance, I think my opinion is their right to the land, their right is illegitimate. Now the two things Jews bought land, but the Jews simply also took over the status of the nation on somebody else's land. And that's illegitimate. The other side of that coin is, there's not a single nation in the world that has done the same thing, including us. If that's a mark of legitimacy, we're all going to have to move it. I mean, that's because every nation, almost every nation in the world is occupying whatever land they're occupying, they just took over from somebody weaker. So, in that regard, they've got about as much right to exist as anybody else. But as a matter of fact, I can understand the errors of this too. And I hope you realize something, that the Jewish Zionists have not only persecuted the Arab Christian church, they've also persecuted Orthodox Jews. The Zionists say that's about a little bit of God than we possibly imagine. And they think they hate Christianity, and Jewish Zionists pretty serious. So whatever's going to happen, I don't know. But I'm saying simply saying it does not, the monster that does not fulfill Bible prophecy, not the Jewish. That's my understanding.
You don't have a prophet either, huh?
I don't want. Wait a minute. You're afraid I'm going to get going, aren't you? Let me stop.